This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susi.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the most haunted city on Earth. Okay, yeah. No, please don't.
And I'm Topo Gijo.
Yes. All right. Hello, welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. I don't know why I'm messing this up.
Wow, this is like the first time you've ever. I think we need to keep it. Like it's
no,
kind of a special
listen,
moment.
I've gotten no sleep.
It started.
Oh my God, I've gotten no sleep this week.
It is the season.
Yes. Yeah.
The spooky season.
Yes. I've just been giving.
So what's your name?
Tours. My name's Madison Timmons.
Oh, all and right. I'm Chris Susi.
Oh my God. I'm scared.
Moreover, that was JT Timmons' nose for anybody who's watching.
Right.
Yes.
Very deep look of his nose.
I just realized that I didn't do that in front of the microphone because I had to bend down to hit the cut button because this is a one-man freaking show over here. So this is like a really chaotic thing. Let me go ahead and get a soundbite, and I'm JT Timmons. All right, now we're done. now I can copy and paste that just here twice.
You're just chaos today.
Pure chaos.
Anywho, welcome.
Who can guess Chaos Reign, where Chaos Reigns is from?
Chaos Reigns.
It's that one movie.
I love this movie. It's where they smash genitalia with the 2x4 or whatever. It's cool, bro.
Oh, my God.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah. Antichrist. Lars von Trier.
That's what it is, yes.
Chaos Reigns. Yeah, the Fox says it. It's dope. Anyway, all right, let's keep it going. Okay, let's keep it on.
Anywho, so today we are going to be doing another top five. We are going to be talking about the top five. Well, I mean, there's plenty of different ones that you could talk about, but five celebrities mm-hmm. that have had paranormal experiences.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
Top five's been hitting, y'all. Analytics are up for the top five. People love a list.
Apparently.
So we're going to keep it going. Yeah.
People are list people.
Yeah. I also put it as a poll. I put out a poll on Spotify, and I was like, do y'all like the top fives? And like the vast majority voted yes. So I was like, okay, dope.
So we're a list podcast now.
No,
that's a joke. No,
watch Mojo hit us up.
Oh my God, no. It's, but.
No, yes. They have like a bajillion.
Well, I know, but then we'll really be a list podcast.
And there's
hello.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So moving on to some announcements. So first off, if you have a ghost story that you want us to send or you want to hear us talk about and discuss and all that fun stuff, send it in to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. This is not a ghost mail episode, but if you have a ghost story, start typing them out for us because we do really enjoy doing that segment and y'all seem to really enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it connects us with the listeners and the fans and all that. Like it's actually really nice.
You got some crazy stories.
Yee.
Also, on Halloween, the Savannah Underground is going to be a prize for Let's Make a Deal, which is super fun. So Wayne Brady is going to be talking about our theater, and that is amazing.
Yes. Wayne Brady, if you're a listener, please hit us up.
Oh, my God. I love Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady's the best.
My wife is Wayne Brady is her favorite celebrity of all time.
Yeah. I mean,
so absolutely.
He's one of mine.
Yeah. Wayne Brady is going to be talking about the Savannah Underground because we have a prize on there for Let's Make a Deal that is going to be in combination with the 1790 Inn here in Savannah. So that's going to be super cool. So if you want to hear that get shouted out by Wayne Brady, watch Let's Make a Deal on Halloween.
Let's make a deal.
And then last announcement, if you haven't already, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating on wherever you are listening to this podcast. Or if you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. Mm-hmm. It helps us out so much.
It really does. It really, really does. Like, I can't tell you how much it actually helps.
Yes, the analytic gods of the internet really enjoy when y'all hit those 5-star ratings. So if you enjoy this podcast, please consider doing that.
And if you don't enjoy the podcast, go ahead and give us 5 stars anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, we get thousands of views in a week on when we drop an episode. So if everyone listening could just do that, we'll have 1,000 5-stars.
Amazing.
That's how I see things sometimes.
Yes.
So unrealistic. Anyway, let's go.
Anywho, let's get into our list. So we're going to start out with number 5, Keanu Reeves.
Whoa. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Wow. Everybody's favorite stoic man.
Yes. cannot work worth a lick, but boy, we love him.
Yeah.
Well, especially us men.
Yeah, men God, do love Keanu
John
Reeves.
John Wick daddy over here.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
So Keanu Reeves had apparently, we're starting out with him because his was kind of like a simple story. Some of these are a little bit more complicated as we get going into it. But Keanu Reeves had an experience from his childhood that he's talked about in multiple interviews and things like that. And the memory was Keanu was very young when the incident occurred, making the memory even more vivid and startling. He was living in New York City at the time. And one day, while he was with his nanny, both of them witnessed an empty jacket that appeared to be floating through the doorway of a room.
Whoa.
There was no body, no legs, just a jacket, as if an invisible person was wearing it. It came through the room and then vanished, leaving both young Keanu and his nanny in shock.
Nanny, did you see that jacket? It floated.
Whoa.
It was a ghost.
And so according to Keanu, the reaction of his nanny confirmed what he had seen. Both were startled and they shared the experience and validated that it wasn't just a figment of his imagination. Keanu has occasionally shared this story during interviews. While he doesn't necessarily describe himself as a firm believer in the paranormal, he acknowledges the strangeness of the event and how it has stayed with him over the years. Keanu hasn't delved deep into what he believes the experience meant, which I don't think there is much meaning behind this incident, but nor has he suggested it was a recurring event in his life. It seems to be a singular, unexplained memory from his childhood.
Ooh, if I saw that, it'd be Point Break for me.
Oh, my God.
I think his mother, and I could be wrong, but I think his mother is a costume, like a Hollywood costume person.
Probably.
And I think that when you take into account just that knowledge, that it's possible that in his house he could have had jackets worn by famous people, clothing worn by famous people. Because I'm like scraping my brain for this, but I want to say I remember a story where Keanu Reeves wore Dolly Parton's Playboy outfit as a Halloween costume.
That's hilarious.
And so it's like, it's possible that in his house there were, you know, clothing that was iconic, you know, clothing that was worn by iconic people who may have passed. So that's very interesting in my brain. And again, I could be wrong. I might be thinking of an entirely different celebrity.
Yeah.
So, good golly, Miss Dolly, we're actually going to talk about Miley Cyrus next.
Oh, boy. Yeah. This is a Savannah one, right?
It happened right here.
Actually, we've discussed the Savannah one, right. But I think that this encounter happened in London, but it has some similarities to the Savannah occurrence. So, I have some theories. Miley Cyrus shared a story about renting an apartment in London while on tour and where she experienced a strange phenomenon. So while on her European tour, Miley stayed in a rented apartment in London, and she believes this place, which used to be a bakery, was haunted. The most unsettling experience Miley recounted was seeing the ghost of a young boy sitting on the edge of her bathtub as she was showering. And the apparition, she said, was a little boy who was dressed in old-fashioned vintage clothing. Other phenomena included the water faucets in the apartment would suddenly turn on and off on their own. And Miley's younger sister, Noah, also experienced some of these strange occurrences and was equally frightened by them. They started doing some research on the property, and after these events, Miley looked into the history of the building and discovered that it was previously a bakery. The owner, as the story goes, was a man who had a son who died at a young age. Mm-hmm. Miley speculated that the boy she saw could have been the son of the previous owner. The experiences left such an impression on Miley that she and her family decided to move out of the apartment. They subsequently checked into the Soho Hotel and stayed there for the remainder of their time in London. Miley shared this paranormal story during interviews, mentioning how the experience was genuinely unsettling for her, even though she was previously skeptical about the existence of ghosts. Now, the reason why I think this has a connection to the Savannah story is because for some reason, Miley and water spirits are like hand in hand.
It was a wet handprint on her boot, right?
Yeah. And so part of me wonders, because I don't know if this incident happened before she filmed the last song. And
I think it did if she was traveling with her family that way, because by that song, I think she was pretty independent.
Right.
You know.
And so it makes me wonder if this spirit might not have attached to her.
Yeah.
And that is what she experienced in the 1790, because that would make sense if, you know, because that was also an occurrence that she was experiencing in the 1790 was faucets turning
on, right, water.
So there, because there's such some similarities between the two, because...
And it's funny because in talking about it with people, it's like her story doesn't really sync with what... a lot of people report at the 1790s, and it was an interesting conversation piece because it was like, oh, you know, that's a new one, because oftentimes you get, like, you know, being harassed, women, you know, getting pinched or smacked even, or the jewelry going missing or things like that. But she had a very distinct, like, rummaging through her stuff, wet handprints on a boot. Yeah,
and so that's my theory.
It's a good theory.
Obviously, this is not concrete. I was not there. I don't know Miley Cyrus at all by any means. So I don't know for a fact. But just from those two incidences, there seems to be some similarities. And like Chris always says, people are more likely to be haunted than places. And a lot of times if you are having experiences that are very similar, a lot of times it could just be you're experiencing the same ghosts.
And honestly, if a world-renowned celebrity shows up, and you've been living in a old bakery,
right?
I think I would go with the world famous celebrity. I'd be like, "Oh, you're going to the Soho Hotel? Hang on, I'll just follow you."
Exactly. So, interesting story though. Now this next one's a little bit darker, and this one comes from Ariana Grande.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Ariana Grande has often spoken about her belief in ghosts and demons, but she also shared an experience about visiting the Stull Cemetery in Kansas, which she which is believed to be one of the seven gateways to hell.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I've been there.
Wow.
It's pretty freaky, not going to lie. So Ariana Grande and her friends visited the Stull Cemetery in Kansas, which is rumored to be obviously one of the seven gateways to hell, which she was interested in the supernatural and wanted to experience the alleged haunted site for herself. Upon arriving, Ariana felt an overwhelming sense of negativity. She didn't even get out of her car due to the overwhelming bad vibe she felt from the location. And after... she decided to leave. Now, Ariana and her friends found themselves having trouble in their car. It had a black fly in it, which she described as looking like something straight out of an evil pet store.
Oh, no.
Yeah, evil thickens the fly.
Evil thickens?
Yes, that's it.
I don't think Chris knows about thickens.
That's a side
Chris, do you
tangent.
Know about thickens?
I don't know about thickens.
I can tell in like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, tell the story of thickens. Yeah. So is now it
two
all seconds? Of you
I'm
know.
In 2 hours. All right, so basically just real fast. With thickens, Michael Molina, who's been on the show, and I were sitting at Popeye's. This was in college at Florida State University. We were at Popeye's, and we were eating like fried chicken, obviously. And these flies in Popeyes were so massive. They were like the size of horse flies or like wasps or bumblebees, like those wood bees. And they would land on the table. And so we had this one that we were feeding, like crusts of fried chicken. And Michael named him Thickens. And we would come back and see Thickens. And then Thickens was gone because he was the biggest one. And we think he either got like smushed, you know, possibly hit by a car. We don't
know. Flies have very short lifespans.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, but we miss Thickens and...
Apparently.
Yeah. Thickens had a great life of 24 hours. You know,
if someone's hand-feeding you fried chicken, yes. I'll take the Thickens life.
Exactly. Yeah.
He literally, he like, Thickens would land on the table, and you would hear it.
Boom.
It would be like, boom. And then Michael would go, Thickens!
It's both an endorsement and a damning indictment of Popeyes.
Anyway, that's the Thickens story.
Well, yes. Yeah, so
Thickens died of a heart attack.
Yes. Well, this Thickens was from Pet Cemetery. This is what happened after he died at Popeyes. Okay. He went to this cemetery and got buried there and came back as evil Thickens. So she felt that the fly and the car troubles were symbolic of the bad energy from the cemetery. Now, after leaving the cemetery for weeks, Ariana reported seeing unexplained shadows and hearing whispers. The disturbing sensations led her to believe that she might have been followed by a spirit or energy from the site. Mm. The most alarming experience came from when she felt a heavy, oppressive feeling on her chest, as though something was pressing down on her. She described it as a feeling of someone being pressed up against her. Ariana took a photo of the supposed disturbances and claimed to have captured three super distinct faces in a picture. However, she deleted the image from her phone because she felt it contained negative energy and didn't want to keep it.
Oh man, I know. I want to see it.
That's kind of smart. Right. That's actually a pretty responsible thing to do.
Right. So Ariana mentioned that while she's very interested in the paranormal and loves ghostly things, this experience was a bit too real for her liking. She stated in her interviews that she now is more careful and respectful when it comes to seeking out supernatural experiences.
Oh. Nice.
Goodness gracious.
So if anyone knows Ariana Grande, we'd love to talk to her.
Right. Wow. That's just like a crazy story. And like also not surprising at the same time. If you go to a place where they think it's one of the seven like entrances to hell,
yeah,
maybe expect.
We should do a podcast on the seven portals to hell.
Exactly.
Ooh, that would be a good idea.
You know, there's seven that, and it's a rotating list.
Right.
But, because there's a... I want to say there's Hell's Gate in North Georgia, in Forsyth, Georgia.
I feel like I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's one of the... And Goatman's Bridge is allegedly one of them. There's a variety of them.
But the list that Stahl is in is about geographic like configurations where they like calculated the ley lines. Like, this is how we get to hell. Like, oh, I just figured we'd sin and that would be it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I think it could be that same logic as the Miley Cyrus incident, that it's like if this famous like celebrity comes into the cemetery. You know,
celebrity, what we have to really think about is how much focus and energy is placed upon a celebrity. Mm-hmm. All these people watching and looking, which is something that spirits are very, very interested in, having that kind of energy, because human attention is energy. And that is a smorgasbord. You get somebody who has, you know, millions upon millions of people, you know, worship them. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. That's what celebrity is. We celebrate them. They carry a signature of energy. And so, yeah, I want to say there was like a celebrity ghost hunting show at one point, or a celebrity where they like locked celebrities into places and made them do weird tasks.
That's insane.
That is.
But I would like to say that you bring somebody of that kind of caliber of attention, you might get more experience. So,
I bet.
Any celebrities out there who want to go ghost hunting,
hit us up.
Yeah, no,
straight Ariana Grande. I know you were a little traumatized by that incident, but
you wanna... we're going somewhere scary.
Yes. Well, actually, speaking of paranormal celebrities and things like that, this is a good moment to remind y'all we do have the Ghost Brothers coming on to the show.
Correct. Yep.
So we'll actually put a pin in that topic too, of seeing if they may, after they start acquiring some more attention to their show and
we'll
things
be live streaming
like
that one too.
Well, and that's another thing is a lot of times, especially in these shows where you have ghost hunters who are broadcasting and garnering audiences, a lot of times you'll hear very similar occurrences happen at different locations, and it is my estimation that what's happening is spirits are attaching to them and just going to these other places with them. Uh-huh. And so then you get this, oh, you know, it's funny that everywhere we go, they call your name. It's like, well, it may not be the ghost of this property. It might be the one that's attached to you.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, yeah, if you want to find a gate to hell, all you got to be is famous or steal someone's husband. She did both, so.
Oh, T. Oh, my God. JT is unhinged today. Anyways,
yes,
that is neither here nor there.
JT's opinions do not reflect the owners of this.
Yes. So the next one is Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. So
all right.
The man that my mother loves so much. My mother is obsessed with Matthew McConaughey. He believes in ghosts as well, but his biggest story that he has is a story about encountering a spirit named Madame Blue in his Hollywood home.
Oh, ooh, okay. Madame Blue.
So when Matthew McConaughey first moved into his home in the Hollywood Hills, he had an encounter with a spirit he later named Madame Blue. This occurred shortly after he purchased the property. Now, McConaughey recounted that on his first night in the house, he heard strange noises, decided to investigate. He walked around naked, armed with the baseball bat, trying to find the source of the sounds. You know, the best time to go investigating is naked with a baseball bat. You
also,
know?
If you call it a baseball bat, I think you're compensating.
Oh, no, Chris.
Oh, no, we're going to get that.
He just took
We're going to get that E next to this podcast.
I know,
for that
right?
one. That's funny,
oh,
though.
Lord. That is good.
And so he was trying to find the source of the sounds. It was during his investigation that he felt the presence of the spirit. After the initial confrontation, Matthew felt he came to an understanding with Madame Blue. He mentioned in his interviews that he didn't feel threatened by her presence. Instead, he communicated in a manner of speaking that they could coexist peacefully as long as she didn't pull any malevolent tricks on him. So over time, McConaughey seemed to accept the presence of Madame Blue in his home, and he has said that he believes she had lived on the property long before he did, and that he doesn't think she's there to harm him or anyone else. Unlike some of the other celebrities who might seek to cleanse their homes of spirits, Matthew McConaughey seemed at peace with Madame Blue's presence, so he expressed no desire to bring in paranormal experts or perform any sort of cleansing ritual. The actor has shared this story with a mix of humor and seriousness in various interviews, making it clear that while he does believe in the paranormal to some extent, he also approaches with such experiences with his characteristic laid-back attitude.
Super laid-back.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you're a ghost. And she's like, yeah.
You do your thing, I'll do my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be naked over here.
And she's like, I'll be naked over here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'll just coexist.
It's a win-win situation.
No, that's funny, though. Because that's exactly how I picture Matthew McConaughey experiencing ghosts. He's like, oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, well.
All right.
I guess you're here now. So, all right. So, but it's an interesting story, too, because it just seems like he just found his house spirit, really.
Negotiation is that simple. You come up with a guideline. You say, don't do this. We can co-inhabit. You know, oftentimes it's the best answer.
But the real reason or the real question I have here is, where did he come up with the name Madame Blue? I can't find that anywhere.
Madame Blue.
it's just such a random name. Like,
well, and it's interesting because there are spirits and entities that are blue. They give off a blue tinge.
Like Madame Leota.
And interesting, if you go back into certain cultures, you find that blue is the color of conjure. It's the color where a spirit had been drawn and basically captured. Famously, genies of lamps and things of that sure. nature. Blue is the color of enslavement.
Huh.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Which is a call into Haint Blue as well, is the idea of Haint Blue being if you come here, you will be trapped.
Okay.
Right.
Huh.
Which makes sense. Yeah, so maybe, well, because he, like I said, he did believe that she lived here before, so maybe she does have some type of attachment where
to the building, yeah,
she
to
can't
the place.
Leave. And that's why she's blue. Interesting.
Madam
well,
blue.
Matthew McConaughey, if you're listening, we yeah. have questions about Madame Blue. But a lot of these experiences, I think, are funny because of the fact that they're pretty classic for ghost stories in the way that it's like not all ghost stories are like, I saw a demon in my house and now
and the blood spilled from the walls.
Exactly. A lot of times it is just simply like I heard a weird noise and then I saw a ghost and that's how it went. And it seems like the
Matthew McConaughey way of doing things.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Exactly.
In a Lincoln.
So the next one is our last one, which is actually about UFOs, which I think is interesting.
Intriguing.
It's Demi Lovato.
Oh.
Demi Lovato is apparently just obsessed with UFOs. I didn't realize this about her, about them, excuse me. And I had no idea that they were so into like that sort of stuff. I missed the memo, but like it's
It's not coming through their music, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. But Demi Lovato has spoken about multiple encounters with the supernatural. So Demi has long expressed an interest in the paranormal and extraterrestrial. And here are some detailed accounts of their experiences. So UFO sightings. Demi has shared on multiple occasions about witnessing unidentified flying objects, UFOs. In October of 2020, they posted photos and videos on their Instagram account, which I missed clearly. If you saw this, please let us know because I don't remember this. But they claimed they were UFOs. And these sightings occurred during a trip to Joshua Tree, which is not surprising at all. Joshua Tree is a very common hotspot for...
Is it?
Yeah, for UFO type.
Deserts in general.
Yeah. But these sightings occurred during that trip to Joshua Tree with Dr. Stephen Greer, a known UFOologist.
Sure.
So they were out seeking these UFOs and things like that.
Okay.
So Demi actually ended up getting their own show about UFOs. And
what?
Yeah. It's called Unidentified with Demi Lovato.
We're going to check that out.
I know. So in 2021, Demi began hosting a docuseries titled Unidentified with Demi Lovato. In this series, they, along with their best friend Matthew and sister Dallas, investigate UFO sightings and other paranormal phenomena. The docuseries delves into Demi's personal experiences and beliefs regarding extraterrestrial life.
Wow.
Which is just so crazy. Again, I don't know where I was for the last 3 years of Demi's UFO antics.
We got a pandemic going on. We can't pay attention to everything.
We're living through a bunch of historic events. And,
that's true.
apparently I missed some things.
UFOs are kind of a passé subject at this point. It's like, have you seen what's going on in the world?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, but they're UFOs. Yeah, fine.
Right. Speaking, totally side note, did you know they believe there's a megalodon off the coast of Tybee? I didn't know this until, like, literally yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they think that? Like, that makes no sense. Like, why do they think that?
They find megalodon teeth on Tybee all the time.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a place, it's not really off of Tybee as much as it is. I'm just going to call it Sharktooth Island.
Sharktooth Island?
It's a place that people go to get sharktooth.
Okay. Yeah. I want to
I don't know that. That's not the official name. It's, you know, an island where it's easier to find shark teeth.
Can you kayak out there? Or?
I don't. I think you have to take a boat.
Yeah, take a boat.
Boat.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know about this megalodon until literally.
If y'all actually probably don't know this because we've never brought it up, but Madison's obsessed with megalodons.
Yeah,
she's obsessed with megalodons.
Have you watched Meg 2?
No, because
she doesn't like that stuff.
It's so stupid.
Is it really?
But endlessly
entertaining, isn't it?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one was entertaining. The second one was like laugh out loud, yell at the screen, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not how it works.
Right.
You spend a lot of time saying that's not how it works. because I think there's even a scene where like Jason Statham like catches a megalodon with a spike.
That's dope.
But he's like holding it up.
Oh, cool.
And you're like, you know,
he couldn't hold that.
See?
Well, you know,
that's the thing.
But megalodons are literally like 60 times bigger than a great white shark, like the largest great white shark.
You know, they're huge.
I love megalodons. I don't like megalodon movies. I think they are so ridiculous. And I'm like, do better to the megalodons. They deserve more than this.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
They are giant sharks. What else are you going to do but tell stories about them eating people at large?
Well, that's fun. I mean, but like at least, you know, do it sensibly, Jaws style. You know, it's like imagine a Jaws animatronic megalodon.
They barely handled the Jaws mechanical shark.
We have evolved as a society. So, those are just my opinions, though.
we have gone off on a tangent here.
That was the point. Sorry. That thought popped into my head, and I had to let all of you know that there is a megalodon that is off the coast of Tybee.
Suspected.
The visitor center has a whole video on it. That's how I found out. I was literally just sitting there, and suddenly they're like, "Did you know there's a megalodon?" I'm like, "Huh? What?"
And then she immediately texts me, "There's a megalodon on Tybee." And I said, "Now?
Right now?"
Like, what?
It's eating ice cream.
It is. Yeah. It's eating ice cream and jellyfish.
It's getting a parking ticket. You can't park this here. That's a megalodon.
No megalodons on the beach.
No megalodons on the beach. $400
ticket. $400
ticket. Anyways, so back to Demi's extraterrestrial.
Oh, I forgot what we were talking about.
So Demi has also claimed in the docuseries has explored methods to communicate with extraterrestrials using meditation and consciousness-based techniques, which is quite compelling. A little concerning, because those are oftentimes associated with the, extraterrestrial based cults a lot of times. So concerning, but not unheard of. Personally though, I feel like if we're going to communicate with extraterrestrials, it's going to be through some type of radio signal or something. That's at least my thought.
There's the Stargate program, which was a group of psychics hired by the United States military to establish and maintain contact with extraterrestrials, being, you know, remote viewers were basically used, because our precepts and our concepts are all based upon what we understand as technology. But to suggest that our technology is the only technology or our understanding of physics is the only physics, it's kind of Earth-centric. So the idea is, what if we didn't stick to so much physical science and went more in metaphysical science? What could we accomplish? You know, that concept of folding space and the concept of, you know, long-distance travel being, well, you know, it's funny. I think it was Mark Twain said, nothing is faster than the human thought. Because when I say Mars, my thought is already on Mars. It traveled all that distance. If I say the ends of the universe, my mind, my thought is at the ends of the universe the moment I think of it. Sure. So, you know, that is an interesting way to think of existence, because we are bound by the physical world. And in that binding, we are limited. So once we could just break through that stubborn reliance on what is physical, we might accomplish amazing things.
Now, if I think about that too much, I'm going to go into an existential crisis. So
that's why we stick to the physical.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But interesting points. So Demi also said they had expressed the belief that if humans approach extraterrestrials with a peaceful mindset, positive encounters can be fostered. Now, in addition to their experiences with UFOs, Demi has shared stories about growing up in a haunted house in Texas. They've recounted seeing the ghost of a little girl named Emily, whom they believe was from the late 1800s or early 1900s. So Demi's been involved in all things supernatural for a long period of time. But Demi has also talked about how their experiences with the unknown have impacted their mental health and spirituality. They believe that understanding and connecting with the universe can bring about inner peace and healing, which is quite interesting. So I guess there's two ways that you can take away, because a lot of people, and I'm one of them, is when you think about extraterrestrial life, or you know, like contact with other things. Not that I don't personally believe that that exists. It's just more so that if you think about it too long, you're like, oh, this is too much for my wee brain to process. And so there's that point of the spectrum to where it's like, the more you think about it, it's like, oh, that's kind of nice and comforting to know that we're not alone. So it seems like Demi is on that side of the spectrum, which is quite interesting.
Really tricky, because you'll find in these communities, oftentimes, people get into camps where they're 100% believe in UFOs, but 100% don't believe in ghosts, or 100% believe in ghosts, but don't believe in UFOs, 100% believe in Bigfoot, but don't believe in ghosts or UFOs. You know, there's so many things that separate it all, but it's like, you know, if we take it as a whole, it probably is hyper-connected. You know, you take people, there are people who see UFOs all the time, and it's like, is it possible that they are clairvoyant, but what their clairvoyance gives them is to see UFOs, which right. is invisible to everyone else. Hmm. You know, what if people are clairvoyant to cryptids? They are seeing things that other people cannot see. What if a lot of cryptids are extra dimensional rather than just living in the woods? They actually live in a different dimension, and we only catch them in blinking moments when they're trespassing into our dimension. A lot of things open up when you start, you know, taking away the gatekeepers that say, well, UFOs are people from another planet who traveled here. And the way they traveled was through, you know, physics propulsion and, you know, utilizing these things. It's like, are you sure? There's so many things to think about why and how and when events occur.
Yeah.
Could we be dealing with something more tightly connected? You know, what if it's all connected? And wouldn't that be nice and reassuring to know that it's all connected, and we just have to stop being obsessed with our reality?
So there you go.
If I saw a UFO, I think I'd have a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people's encounters with UFOs are more the unknown element. You know, you see something and you're like, I can't figure that out. Like, I had a friend who saw something here in Savannah that, upon describing it, it was like, well, it sounds like you saw a helicopter. And they were like, I know what a helicopter looks like. Uh-huh. They're like, it was like a golden ball, and it had like landing struts like a helicopter.
Yeah.
But then on the top of it, it had like a very ornate, almost like a king's crown. And I was like,
wow,
I don't know what to tell you. And they were like, it was low, like right above like the Hilton.
Yeah.
And I was like, was it hanging on a crane? Could it have been, you know, but they were adamant about it, and they were like, it was large. It was huge. I was like, okay,
yeah,
you saw a UFO. You know, that's
right.
The best we can do. That's, you know, the best I can tell you is I don't know what it is, and you don't know what it is, so we don't know what it is.
So we have a couple more minutes, and I wanted to bring up a concept that's absolutely not even close to what we've been talking about.
Oh, good.
Non
sequitur.
I want to know what Chris thinks. So Madison and I had a discussion this morning because the current Pope is doing a lot of good stuff for the Catholic Church. And, sure. You know, we're big fans of the current Pope. And
for what he stands for.
For what he stands for.
We're not Catholic. So
yeah, no, we're not Catholic, but I keep up with it and I tell her. But anyway, I said that, you know, I think that when he does die, he is going to be incorruptible. And Madison's like, I just don't know. I think there's a way that the Catholic Church is like maybe keeping them, keeping those bodies so fresh. And I was like, there's this old lady, hundreds of years old, I think, who is still incorruptible. She was a saint, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to bring that up with the last couple of minutes that we have the podcast. I want to know what you think about incorruptibility and whatnot.
Yeah. Well. It's fascinating, incorruptibility.
So fascinating.
There are cases in which it was not discovered that they're incorruptible for centuries. Uh-huh. It was when they, uncovered a tomb or they opened it and they're like, oh, this body looks very recently dead. this body could... And that comes to this interesting notion.
Sure.
Which is... we're immortal until we die, meaning only one thing kills us. Everything else, we survive. Hmm. We only live until we die, which sounds simple, sounds easy, but it does bring about this interesting idea that is, what if I could fall off the top of a building, hit the sidewalk, get up, and walk away? I'm not going to try it. I do not encourage trying it, but because we limit ourselves by that fear of death and that fear of damage and that fear of things, we don't understand all of the mechanics of the human body. Like, there are people who live their whole lives without ever breaking a bone. That's kind of cool. They've lived a pretty good life, an easy enough life. How do we know that their bones aren't unbreakable? We really don't. They weren't put to the test. They didn't, we are not put to the test. And yes, you can say observationally, don't do that. Don't put it to the test. Don't run out into traffic. Don't do these things. But every now and then we come across these bodies, right? I remember one time early on when they were talking about the crystal skull. And they're having all these things. You're like, look at this beautifully. It couldn't be tooled by, ancient Aztecs and stuff like that. It's like, what if walking around on Earth, there are people with crystal skeletons? Would we know if they were never x-rayed, if their bodies were never exhumed? What if people have different physiologies? Think of, all of science that we know about the human biology really leaps and bounds in the last 100, 200 years. Before that, who knows? And people are like, well, we've discovered so many bodies. We've discovered so many bones. It's like, have we, in comparison to everyone who ever died? It's a small sampling of the human populace that we've actually seen their skulls and their remains. And I'm not saying that, of course, any of that is more than just a thought experiment, which is... Every now and then, we come across things that we don't really understand, like the incorruptible corpses, like these things, like the peat moss man, when they pull him out and he's like 5,000 years old, but he's perfectly intact.
So you're saying that there could be more bodies in the ground that are incorruptible. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, I didn't even think, I knew he would like bring something up like that. That's cool. So my question is, so Madison does not believe, is it fair to say you don't believe in incorruptibility?
Yeah.
Okay, and I do. I do believe in incorruptibility.
Sure.
What do you, like, do you believe in incorruptibility?
So incorruptibility as a sign of divinity, I don't necessarily subscribe to it. Only, and not because of any sense beyond the idea of, I feel that nature has a plan and a course. And what is supernatural, preternatural, what is beyond nature, infringes on that nature's plan. And nature's plan is for us to break down. And
right.
You know, I think that is a part of nature's plan. So when things happen, like the incorruptible or something like that, it has a supernatural element because it doesn't fit in the nature in the plan. But is it because they were blessed or because they were beloved? That's hard to say. Mostly because once you take that into account, you have to really consider how many people are forsaken. How many people are not blessed? How many people who did great things and good things, and how many people are true and good and loving, are somehow not worthy of this honor or this thing. So my main resistance is not my faith. Do I believe God could do it? Sure, absolutely. Do I believe in God? I do. You know, when these things come down to it, I cannot shake it. And I am Catholic, or I was raised Catholic and Taoist, which is very confusing. basically, I don't believe anything exists, but I'm very guilty about it. So, in the final analysis, if I gave in to that idea that there are people who are blessed, the pain is there are that many more who are not. Huh. And so I try to stay out of that realm because it would depress me, because it would upset me to think how many worthy people are overlooked.
Yeah.
So I tend to think of the machinations of divinity and the machinations of the church and the machinations of these things as human conditions placed upon supernatural events. Because it is interesting. It's fascinating, especially when it seems to happen to saints and to people who have these things. And, you know, you could come up with an argument that they, you know, covered them in wax, or they, they did some kind of plastering thing. But that doesn't make sense for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know anything really that lasts like that from that period.
Exactly. I think personally that it's maybe a way for God to say, hey, you know, this person did something that changed the religion in entirety.
That's fair. And as far as faith goes, that is excellent to have, like, markers that allow your faith to, you know, maneuver. I, strangely enough, don't place such a high regard on humans.
I don't either.
in the sense that I feel like humans are in many ways the plague of the earth. In many ways, we are the test for the true meek of the earth, which are wildlife, which are, you know, I think that we, if you look at the pattern of our growth and the pattern of the way we mass destroy things and we choke out things, and then it's like, well, right now there's all these stories about killer whales attacking boats. Have you heard this?
No.
So there's like this contingent of killer whales, a pod of killer whales that are now chasing down boats. I think it's in the Mediterranean or something like that. And apparently now seals and walruses might be getting into it.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing. What's interesting about it is nature doesn't fight back. Usually, you know, nature just keeps trying to go. So the incorruptible is nature. But what's the corruption? It's us. It's asphalt. It's pollution. It's our inability to regulate ourselves. It's, you know, microplastics. It's all these things that we just dump onto nature, which we are a part of nature. You know, we are a part of nature, and we act against its interest every day in and out. So so when I think of the garden, or, you know, what did God create? God created a beautiful thing, and then we mucked it up. Where do we get off mucking up the entire earth like this? It's like, oh, maybe we're the demons. Maybe we're the ones who are. And I mean, this is off the wall thoughts, but it's kind of how I regard humanity. We have this tendency to really, really demolish and destroy. And then we have these systems where we can, like, have heart, and it's like, well, where's that heart coming from? It's coming from our empathy, our sympathy, realizing the bad we've done. Uh-huh. And that is the give and take of it all. So I try not to get into favorites of God, because that'll get me mad.
Right.
Because I see too much suffering. I see too many people suffering. And that argument comes up a lot. It's like, well, you know, if God is all loving, then how can there be so much suffering? It's like, well, maybe we're not the point. You know, maybe maybe that's why we get to suffer, is because, you know, God's up there going, I made mammals for, get, I, it's like, this planet was for platypi.
So with that nice little tangent, thank you guys so much.
Very odd tangent.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If, like we said, if you have any ghost stories that you would like to share with us, go ahead and send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com, along with all your questions and photos and videos, all the good things. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.